Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Lois.
Can you please state your name and ABC number for the record?
For the record, my name is Carl Haywood, appropriate persona, ABC number 1942-53. 1952-43? Oh, yeah, sorry,
1952-43. Okay, go ahead. I just want to make sure we have this right. You scared me for a minute there. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding there are two allegations on a warrant of arrest here. And you should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing at least 5 days ago.
Yeah.
I see you signed yours on November 16th, is that right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Recall the date exactly.
The exact date, okay. On that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you can hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or are you representing yourself?
I'm coming to appropriate persona, representing myself.
Okay, very good.
Attorney.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. We have a four-member panel today. And you can see us on the screen there. At the far opposite end of the bench from me is the Honorable David Neal. Next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today for this hearing.
Gail
Rittenhouse? Gail Rittenhouse, yes, sir. Also here in the room with us is Mr. Oliveri, who's a community corrections officer for Department of Corrections. So he's representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer today. So before we get started with your hearing, I need to swear both you and Mr. Oliveri in. So, Mr. Haywood and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do, of course.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Haywood, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and in phase two, we'll determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So what I'm going to do is read information from your warrant, and I need you to tell me on each of these allegations if they're true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, then we'll take some testimony from Mr. Oliveri, and we can talk about it then. And then the board will make the determination as to whether you violated your conditions. So do you understand how the process goes?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What were you going to say there, sir?
I was just going to go ahead and tell you true or false off the top, so we don't even have to go through.
All right, well, here, let me just read them to you, because we need to do this for the record. We're being recorded, so we got to do everything for the record. So here is the first allegation, and that is that you violated condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for testing on or about October 12, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 12, 2017. Is that true or false, Mr. Haywood?
True.
Okay. And the other allegation is that you violated condition of supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned PO by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about October 16th, 2017, as directed in writing on October 15th, 2017. At that point, you were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Haywood, is that true or false?
False.
False? Okay.
False.
All right. Well, since that one is false, we will take some testimony from Mr. Oliveri about that. So, Mr. Oliveri, if you... tell us about allegation number 2.
Allegation number 2. On October 13th of 2017, P.O. Underwood attempted to hand deliver a notice of violation to the offender at his approved residence located at 4756 East Portland Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. Contact was attempted due to the offender failing to submit a urine sample on October 12th of 2017 and the offender's failure to return P.O. Crumpleman's telephone calls. The offender was not at the residence, so the notice of violation was left at the front door. The notice of violation contained a written directive for the offender to report to the Northeast Parole Office on October 16th of 2017 by 0900 hours. On October 16th of 2017, the offender failed to report to his assigned parole officer as directed. As of October 17th of 2017, the offender has failed to report or make any form of contact with his supervising parole officer. The offender is actively awaiting supervision. Follow-up number two. On October 16th of 2017, the O'Connellman attempted to contact the offender's listed emergency contact, Karen Haywood, mother, at 63-915-8710. The number rang repeatedly with no answer or available messaging device. On October 16th of 2017, the O'Connellman also contacted the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and the Maricopa Integrated Health System. Both agencies stated they had no recent record of the offender in their system. As of October 17th of 2017, the offender has not contacted and not attempted to contact PO Compliment or any community corrections staff members. PO Compliment does not know of any other person or place to contact in an attempt to locate the offender. PO Compliment has exhausted all means in an attempt to locate the offender.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveira. So, Mr. Haywood, what's not true about that allegation?
Okay, well, initially, I guess he sent my Rachel Underwood to the wrong address because she never ever knocked on my door or any, someone's always there, so I'm right. Pretty positive she was in the wrong address. And my previous parole officer didn't have any problems coming to my house.
Sir,
the
allegation is that you didn't report for a face-to-face contact visit on the 16th. Did you or didn't you? That's the question. Did you report?
I did not report. I didn't know I was supposed to.
So that allegation then is true because you didn't report, correct? You're saying you didn't report.
I didn't report on the day, I guess, that he dropped off a letter. I didn't even,
right.
I had no idea. I never received a letter.
Let me move past phase one, and then when we get to phase two of the hearing, you can explain all of that to us. Okay, Mr. Haywood?
Okay.
So I'm going to make a motion then based on Mr. Haywood's admission regarding allegation number one. And information in the warrant, 2017W3515, and testimony from the Department of Corrections on allegation number two. And based on those, I move to find Mr. Haywood delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Wow.
Okay. Oops. Mr. Haywood, we'll move to phase two of your hearing. And before we start phase two, we're going to get some information, kind of background information from Mr. Haywood. I'm sorry, from Mr. Oliveri. I'm looking at your name and saying the wrong name. So we'll get some background information from Mr. Oliveri. Could I ask a favor, sir? I know it must be cold there. But when you do that, it gets on the record. We have a hard time hearing when you blow in your hand like that.
Okay,
I know your hand must be cold. I'm sorry. So just hold on for just a minute. We'll be right back with you. Mr. Oliveri.
Offender Haywood was released from the Department of Corrections on March 27th of 2017. He was arrested in office on October 18th of 2017, returned back to ADC custody on that same day. He has only 2 days of scone. His projected supervision end date will be on April 27 of 2018. Current conviction, 2011, misconduct involving weapons, 3 years. Prior convictions, 2004, theft, 1 year. 2005, aggravated DUI, 4 months. 2005, aggravated DUI, 2 years, 6 months. And in 2012, misconduct involving weapons, 6 years. The offender has 4 terms with ADC, CU and IR scores of a 2-2, mental health score of a 2, and a substance abuse score of a 3. STG gang information, drug intake, inmate admitted being an associate of the Phoenix-based criminal street gang, West Side City, 10th Avenue. One prior term of supervision, 2008, TIS release, completion, 7 months. The offender has a moderate disciplinary history. It should be noted that since his return back to ADC custody, he has received 5 tickets for refusing a program or job assignment, 3 being minimal violations, 1 pending and 1 being a major. Other arrest, 2002, DUI, liquors, drugs, vapors combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. And in 2010, DUI, liquors, drugs, vapors combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G6, B7.
Thank you, Mr. Arbery. So back to you, Mr. Haywood. We have some notes here about your case, kind of supervision summary. So I'd like to just go over those so we can get to know you a little bit. It looks like you were originally approved to reside at the church on the street, but you wound up being discharged from there. And it says here, due to numerous violations to include threatening a staff member. What was that about? What was going on there?
Ma'am, I honestly couldn't tell you. I've never threatened anyone. I would not be asked to be released to a church on the street, which I praise God and I believe in God. And I was honored that they accepted me for me to just go down there and start threatening staff. I had no reason to threaten staff. I have no idea where that allegation came from.
All right. Let me ask Mr. Oliveri if there's anything in the case notes concerning that. That might jog your memory.
Okay.
While he's looking for that, Mr. Haywood, it looks like you were also approved to live at TLC, but at TLC you were discharged for refusing to submit to a breathalyzer. Is that true? What happened there?
It's true. TLC is drug infested. It was in a bad neighborhood. I did not want to be there in the first place. They didn't want to approve my address, so, you know, I was forced to go there. But they wanted me to take a breathalyzer for... I have no idea why, and I was just ready to go. I didn't want to take my breathalyzer. I just...
Had you been drinking? Had you been drinking
No.
when they asked you?
No.
No, okay.
No.
All right, and then it looks like you were directed to go to CAS for a while. Did you go to CAS?
Yes, what day?
It looks like around May 10th, it looks like. But then you went to Vivre, it looks like, and you completed the 90-day program there. So that's a good thing. And then in August you went to live with your friend Cynthia Smith at 4756 East Portland Street in Phoenix. Okay, and you stayed there the rest of the time then when you were out?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Okay, well, back to Mr. Oliveri. He has some information for us.
We have an entry dated on April 13th, 2017 by Parole Officer Rachel Underwood. Offender was discharged from church on the streets on April 12th, 2017. Offender was advised privately on the property that he needed to report to his PO. His discharge was due to numerous violations at church on the street, and during his meeting with accountability staff, he made them feel threatened.
Okay. Did you hear that, Mr. Haywood? Do you have any idea what you might have done that made someone feel threatened?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right.
Whatsoever.
Well, sometimes people just feel that way. I don't know.
That is true.
Okay. Were you working at all while you were out?
No, I was not.
Okay.
I was working for day labor, but I didn't have a steady job.
Well, day labor is something.
Okay.
And it looks like you were going to some treatment programs too. Okay, so you also were responsible to submit urine specimens for TAS. And in May and June, you submitted urine samples that came back positive for alcohol. What was going on there?
Ma'am, I had a couple beers, and initially I didn't know I couldn't drink. And then after he told me, you know, I end up having to drink again the second time and end up having to drop. But yeah, I did test positive twice for alcohol.
So you knew you couldn't drink?
The second time, yeah, I did.
Okay, well, when you were actually released and did your initial intake on community supervision, you signed the paper that said you wouldn't drink.
Yeah, I never seen that. I never even really had time to go over it. You know, they were just placed in front of me and I was just signing away.
Well, gosh. Okay, just be careful, because when you sign things, that means that you understand them and you accept responsibility. Okay, let's see what else here. There's a couple example or instances here where you failed to submit urine samples, October, but everything else came back negative. Looks like you did well at Vivre. Let me see what else, see what other notes are here. Quite a few notes, but... There's an indication here, it's kind of one of the notes, that you tested positive for cocaine at Vivre. Is that true?
Never used cocaine, and I went to test the following day and tested positive. But the way they was, you know, kept pounding me and sweating me, you know, I didn't want to argue with the supervisor. They talked to you really in a matter of disrespect, and yes, you did do it. I didn't argue with them, so I guess they said in this paper here that I admitted it or something.
Okay. Well, there's conflicting information here kind of within this warrant, so we'll take that one at, for what it seems. It seems kind of out of the blue. Interesting. Okay. Mr. Haywood, you have 5 tickets since you've gotten back to prison. 5 tickets. What's going on?
Well, ma'am, they're forcing me to work in the kitchen in unsafe conditions. They refuse to follow OSHA's federal act of providing boots. You know, I'm in this kitchen with deck shoes on, my feet are freezing, I'm slipping and sliding around in puddles of food and water. And, you know, after repeatedly asking from everybody from the warden down to the captain, they assured me they would provide boots and other things I needed to work in there. Never got back to me, never ever helped me out, so I refused to work in that kitchen in that condition. That's all I was.
Okay, and there's one that's still pending. We don't really know what that one is. Okay.
Same
issue? Okay. And the major is because you had the 3 majors, because you had the 3 minors within? Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Fellow board members? No? No questions. Okay, Mr. Haywood, we're coming to the end of your hearing, but we want to give you a chance to make any final statement you want to make for us without repeating stuff you've already told us. So what else would you like the board to know?
Well, let the board know, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for your consideration of even seeing me. Second of all, I was in the hospital the day of me going to see my parole officer on 10/11. I have the hospital papers here. You know, it said in the warrant that my parole officer complimented called the Maricopa Integrated Health System to see if I was there, but they can't provide me any information due to the HIPAA laws, I guess. But yeah, I have the paperwork here stating I was in the hospital on 10/11. Due to medication, I overslept on 10/12, and I wasn't able to put out the urine specimen, but I went the following day, 10/13. No problems. And my second allegation of violation would be for not reporting on the 16th, I believe, or something like that. Rachel Underwood came to the wrong address, no doubt, because I'm there all the time. My girl's grandkids are there all the time. She's there during the day. Afternoon, because she works in the morning. So I'm positive Ms. Underwood went to the wrong address and dropped off any form of written letters for me to report. And as far as him trying to exhaust all remedies to contact me, it says here he tried to contact my mother, Karen Haywood, at the wrong phone number. I have no idea why he has the wrong address, wrong phone numbers, when my previous parole officer had no problems contacting me. And one more thing, second of all, when I realized Mr. Crumpleman was calling me, My phone was rejecting anonymous phone calls, and I explained that to my previous parole officer, and he knew that. So when he was contacting me, it was coming up anonymous, so it never rung. I randomly check my voice message, so that's the only way I knew that he called is by me checking a voicemail. And once I got in contact with him and realized he wanted to see me about this missed UA, I went down there the following day. I do not abscond. There's no reason for me to run. I've done everything parole asked me to. I had a few mishaps with the urine samples, but other than that, I do everything to stay in my conditions. I understand the board's mission is to ensure public safety and all that stuff, and I'm not a public threat whatsoever, and I just want to get back out to my family and help them out. It's the holidays. She needs me home. Grandkids need me. She's really out there struggling, and I have no problems with staying clean. I have no problems with following orders, and I would just please ask you guys, please take that into consideration. Even though I did have some mishaps.
Okay, Mr. Haywood, what is the correct address? Is it 4756 East Portland Street? Is that where she should have delivered it?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
It's crazy that there's two condos with the same exact tax numbers.
Signs on
to
them?
To the right, there's one that says, yeah.
Okay. All right. And then you said they had the wrong phone number for your mother. What is the correct phone number?
The correct phone number is 623-915-1871.
810.
1871. Yes.
All right. I just want to make sure that Mr. Allred has that. 1871, if that's a value. Okay. And Mr. Oliveri has a comment here.
The offender did go to task on October 13th and 17th. He did submit a urine sample, and it was negative for all drugs and alcohol.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. And I don't know if we can correct that phone number or just make a note that there's a dispute about the phone number.
Can I have that one more time?
Yes. It's Mr. Haywood, would you give that phone number again, please?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Oliveri, 623-915. 1871.
Copy 1871.
So we have their numbers here, but the numbers are scrambled up on the version that we have here. So he'll correct that in the record, sir. All right. So Mr. Haywood, the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, we don't discuss cases before we get right in this room because we operate under the open meeting law. So we're going to discuss and give you a determination in a minute here. We just ask that you stay on the line there, and we'll be right back with you, okay? Just remain silent, and we'll be right back, okay? All right, so the board is now in discussion. Mr. Haywood has had some issues with his different residents. For reasons that are kind of unclear on this warrant, one of them is a claim that he had threatened a staff member. I'm not sure. The information Mr. Oliveri provided is not extremely clear about that. They felt threatened. He also had refused to submit to a breathalyzer at another location and was discharged. Lived successfully at Cass and at Roz only one day. And Vibre managed to complete that program and then moved in with his friend. He did, however, have one positive for alcohol, and he admits that he used the alcohol. He has the 5 tickets since he returned to prison, but I understand his reasons for accumulating those. He has 2 abscond days, not a lot of abscond days. I am interested in hearing the input from my fellow board members on this one. Mr. Quinones.
I heard what you had to say, and I have to admit, with 5 months left of a sentence, trying to find a balance between his history and behavior, and whether or not we can safely return him to the community. And I'll just openly admit I'm kind of on the fence on this.
Yeah, I am as well.
I think that actually looking at his record and his history, I do understand kind of the explanation of the five tickets. Certainly you have a better understanding of that probably than what I do. I'm wondering if that address, you know, that could have been the bad address he did eventually, he eventually go there. I would tell you the one thing that does concern me is the alcohol. It looks like he had two aggravated DUIs and he had two other DUIs.
Two misdemeanors.
Two misdemeanors. DUIs that concerns me about him. Being out there, his refusal to take that one. I don't know if he had been drinking and he refused to take it because he'd been drinking or because he just didn't want to do it. But other than that, if he was given if he was released back out, I would just be, you know, was strongly supportive of making sure that you know, he'd be revoked on any first deluded, miss, unsuitable, unstable, or positive UA that he has, regardless to what excuse that he has for, you know, not wanting to take it.
And maybe the transdermal patch, is that an option for...
Or the ankle?
For the patch that might be an option. Mr. Cagnone?
Yeah, sorry to waver on this. There is the behavior thing, and that
yes.
is
yes, there is.
At Church on the Street. And I recognize that Mr. Hayward's being pretty litigious, and I respect that because that's an indication that he knows how to communicate and has some skills. But it's also making me wonder about how straightforward he's being about the situation that he's in right now. So.
Yeah, that's the point. You do have a point about he has had some issues with some anger issues that he actually has had.
Based on his history. Mr. Neal?
Yeah, I just Google mapped that address from the area. I can't get a street view up, but from there, there is a building that is totally separated from everything else in the front that does face to the road and the parking spot. So if there's one address with two front doors, I find hard to believe that people are going to make some sort of effort to make sure they have a correct door in the future. But if the address given is supposed to have an A or B or one or two along with it, and it wasn't given, then
sometimes.
Which, you know, the PO can only go on that address based on the paperwork. But I would have thought that there would have been some sort of an investigation into that particular address when he's coming out of Libre after completing the program. It would be something to verify the address, and because, you know, they're pretty strict about the investigation into any address that somebody's going to be assigned to. So overall, with the discipline problem and everything else, I am not in favor of sending that in supervision.
Any other discussion?
No, thank you.
I like after listening to all the things too, but I'm not sure that I'd be in favor of spending that on community supervision.
All right. Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. And that's the value of discussion in this board, because often situations are not what they seem. Based on information in the warrant number 2017W3515, our discussion with Mr. Haywood, information provided by Mr. Oliveri from the record, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Haywood was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company. specifically by absconding for 2 days, during which time we didn't know what he was doing, and perhaps more importantly, for using alcohol while he was on community supervision, knowing that he has a history of alcohol abuse. That is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. All right, back to you, Mr. Haywood. The board has, after careful thought, you heard our discussion, voted to revoke your community supervision and have you remain there, or where the department places you, until April 27th. That's about the day we have for your release. Based on the history of, you heard, we're really on the fence a little bit, but the final decision was to not reinstate. Kind of based on the alcohol abuse and your history and just kind of the uncertain behavior, the potentially threatening behavior, maybe there's something about you that you might think about. Maybe if you can get an anger management class, it could give you some tips on how to approach people. A lot of times, okay, well, there was something. Somebody felt threatened. Anyway, we thank you very much for being part of your hearing. Appreciate hearing you, and thank you. Wish you the best of luck, and really hope, not that we don't like you, but that we won't see you again. All right.
When was the last time you guys ever granted somebody actual release?
We don't grant release. The board can grant absolute discharge for people who are eligible. But to reinstate people on, you mean to reinstate on? Oh, we do that. Yes, sir, we do.
So, I think I can answer this question with respect. Of course, there's statistics that are kept by the board. But we returned someone to community supervision yesterday, sir.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Understood.
Thank you.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. And have a good day. Just lay the phone down, if you would, and give it so your CO3 can come back on the line for you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.